So today we'll continue on with harsh speech. So harsh speech is, it's harsh speech, isn't it? It's when we insult people and criticize them and yell and scream and ridicule them, make fun of them, point out their mistakes, all of this done with the intention to hurt them or the intention just to even release our own upset. Yeah. So all sorts of things. It's not, we usually think harsh speech is somebody completely flying off the handle, but it can also be very harsh when we ridicule people or tease them about things they're sensitive about, or when we really want to hurt somebody, we act so sweet and we say just the thing that we know is going to hurt. Yeah, so things designed to hurt people's feelings and humiliate them, you know, in the presence of others, all this kind of stuff that we do. Yeah, so, you know, it's usually, it can be done out of jealousy, out of anger, sometimes out of attachment or ignorance. Yeah, but it always results in other people's feelings being hurt. Now, does that mean that whenever other people's feelings are hurt, our speech was harsh speech? No. Yeah, because it has to have a negative motivation that wishes to hurt others or humiliate them. Lots of times we may say things, but people are incredibly super sensitive, and I won't point out any names in this room, but some people are very sensitive, and you know, everything gets taken as a criticism or as, you know, making fun of them or something like that. So these kinds of things are not harsh speech on our part. You know, sometimes we may be asking a question and somebody gets all up in arms about us asking that question. Or, you know, you ask a question, you ask for some information and people get defensive and they think they're criticizing you. So, you know, in these kind of situations, that isn't harsh speech. And we certainly aren't responsible for other people's flare-ups because of it. Okay, we may, you know, learn, okay, people are sensitive about certain things, so, you know, walk delicately in those areas. But it's not necessarily negative karma on our part to be like that. On the other hand, we need to look at our own selves, and when we are on the receiving end and get defensive in a finger snap, you know, people say good morning with the wrong tone of voice and we get up in arms about it, and you know, so to really look at how we inhibit free communication with other people from our side by our habitual misunderstandings and our supersensitivity, you know. And what's interesting is this has come up a few times in explaining these verbal non-virtues, hasn't it? You know, our discussion a few days ago about lying, you know, and how the person who's getting lied to often is the one inhibiting the communication because they're, you know, they're so sensitive or they're so opinionated that other people can't speak freely about them. Or to them, can't speak freely to them. And so they wind up lying. Yeah, that doesn't justify the people, the lies that people tell them. But just in our, you know, internal research to create good communication with other people, which I think is what we all want, is to see where sometimes we're the ones who put up the barriers and then complain that the other people are mean. Okay, So interesting to do that. Okay. And then the fourth of the four verbal ones is idle talk. So this is, you know, when we're just jabbering for the sake of jabbering, you know, on and on about inconsequential things that often are objects of attachment for us. Yeah, like sales and where to buy cheap things. Sometimes politics can devolve into that. You know, sports, you know, huh? Food, oh my goodness. Yeah, talking about food, on and on and on, so boring, except for the people who find it interesting. talking about what this person does and that person does, just for the sake of talking about them, not for the sake of sharing information that can be helpful to share, okay? But just basically using our speech to waste a lot of time. Okay, now, does this mean that every time we talk to somebody, we need to have a really serious, intimate, meaningful discussion? No. Okay, because when you work with people, you know, you want to keep up a friendly feeling in your workplace. And so often you chit-chat a little bit about this and that, just as a way of paying attention to each other, acknowledging each other's presence, you know, sharing a little bit with the other person. That kind of stuff is okay, as long as we're aware that we're doing it and why we're doing it. Yeah. But we may start out aware that we're doing it, and then it just goes into blah, 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 about so many unnecessary things. You know, and giving advice and giving opinions and telling people what to do, and you know how it is. Yeah. So, you know, it used to be that you'd wind up on the telephone with somebody like that, and you know, you have something you need to do, and they're on the phone going on and on and on and on, and it's hard to get them to be off. So this is the one thing that maybe is good about email and everything. Yeah. But then some people, you know, write you constant emails and long emails and, you know, and so there sometimes, you know, you just have to press the delete button, or you respond to them in 2 or 3 weeks, because as soon as you respond, they send you 2 more, you know. So also using email as too much chatting. And I think people use texting, from what I've observed, as just lots and lots of idle talk. So somebody say, but that's not talk, that's type. Yeah, it's still included because it's communication. Even though you might be typing or thumbing, it's still included under the four verbal non-virtues. Okay, so something to, you know, to be careful of. Comments or questions? Yeah.
Speaking about sometimes in the first one of our speech, you've mentioned sometimes about people that let things flow off them like a duck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my observation of that has been that that's not, I don't think what's happening there a lot of times. I think about in the long picture of what's happening there is that things aren't getting dealt with.
Hmm. Okay, it could be, I think it depends a lot on the situation, you know, if somebody, because I use that expression of, you know, like water off the duck's back, when I observe people coming in. I was working with Lama Yeshe one time, and people coming in, and this person saying this, and that one complaining about that one, and that one, and he just listened to all of it, but he didn't react to it. It was like water off the duck's back. He heard it. So what was important, he would deal with. But he didn't react. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, you know, people may say all sorts of stuff, and to be able to differentiate what is important information that we need to deal with at that moment or at another moment, and what is stuff that is better just to completely disregard. Yeah. Because how is it? They say you have to pick your battles. You know, it's like every time somebody says something, if we feel like, oh, this is something to be dealt with and I have to correct them, we're going to become unbearable. Yeah? So sometimes you just have to let stuff go. Yeah? Right. You have to really have let it go instead of explode later on. Yeah. 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 No, I'm talking about you've really let it go. I mean, clearly suppressing it and stacking it up, it's not sliding off the back like water off a duck's back. It's going into the container of my grudges to throw at somebody the next time we have an argument. Yeah, and that's not very helpful. Yeah. Yes. Yes, what is mine to respond to and what's not? Yeah, because sometimes people tell us stuff and we respond to it and put ourselves in the middle of their trip, which is not at all helpful. And some people love to do, I mean, they throw out hooks and they want to hook us into their drama, and you have to know when to just let it go, you know, not bite the hook and not insert ourselves in something that is somebody else's problem to work out. Yeah? Like so-and-so comes to me and complains about the person over there, and then I get all worked up, oh, this person's really unhappy, and that person did something that this person's unhappy about, so that we have two unhappy people, and I better fix it and make everybody happy, because if they aren't all happy, I get too anxious in the environment. Yeah, so then I get all anxious anyway, and I try and placate this one. Then I go to that one and I say, you know, you said this and that, and so-and-so's mad at you because of it. Then instead of that placating the other person, that person gets really mad. And then they get really mad and they go back to this person and say, so-and-so told me that you said this and that about me. And then this person says, well, yes, I did. Or, no, I didn't. So-and-so exaggerated it. And then they both get mad at you for exaggerating it, you know? And so those kind of things, they are none of our business, yeah? And so if somebody comes to us and they're speaking badly, blah, 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 they're venting, if we can help them calm down, that's good. If we can help them look at their anger and realize their anger and apply Dharma antidotes, that's good, yeah. But we don't get involved in, you know, being Mr. or Ms., you know, Henry Kissinger, going back and forth between the two parties. Yeah. Trying to fix up their problem, which is now we've taken on as our problem, when it's none of our business. Yeah.
That's the U.S. International diplomatic relationship with the world.
Yeah.